Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Seem a bit familiar? Think we might know that one, mightn't we? Of course we do. We say it every week, don't we? Many of us say it every day. Well, if that does sound familiar, hold on to that familiarity, because I think we'll be coming back to that shortly. But now, a quick recap, because this week we're back into the Gospel of Matthew. If you remember, what we're doing is when we're not looking at our vision and our identity and our purpose, or when we're not in a season, you know, when we're not doing Easter, we're going back to Matthew and we're working our way through the book of Matthew. But like all good TV programs, when you've had a week in between each episode, it's good to have a brief recap, isn't it? So in the last episode of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, we were told that actually Matthew is split up into slices. Slice one is the introduction chapters 1 to 3 that we've already been through. We're told that Jesus is linked with Abraham. He is linked with the house of David. He fulfills the prophecies of the Old Testament. Then we see Father God announce his son arriving, don't we? This is my son in whom I am well pleased, as he is baptized by John the Baptizer. The next slice, we've had a little nibble out of the next slice, chapters 4 to 7. And they are the bulk of the teachings of Jesus. We've had that little nibble when Jesus got dragged into the desert and tested by the devil and wasn't found wanting. He came out triumphant. But now we're heading into those teachings. And if you've got a Bible like mine, you might find that we suddenly move from black text like this to red text. My Bible highlights all the words of Jesus in red, and you'll start noticing lots of red as we move from the narrative of the story of Jesus into the dialogue of his teachings, of what it means to follow him as an apprentice to Jesus. It's all good stuff. Next week, we're going to be looking at the calling of some of the disciples, not all of them, just a couple of them. Then we'll have a brief break again for Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. But then quickly returning back to those red words again as we see the teachings of Jesus. As we learn from the Beatitudes what it means to be an apprentice, salt and light. But then I'm getting ahead of myself a bit, aren't I? Because today we're looking at Matthew and the announcement of the kingdom of heaven. That's what we see in today. Matthew reminds his readers, look, Jesus is here as the fulfillment of that promise, that prophecy, that the Messiah would come. When Jesus heard that John had been in prison, he withdrew to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went on and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake. Had we not had our Old Testament read so well for us as well, we might wonder why the heck that is there, but we heard it in the Old Testament as well, don't we? Matthew is saying, hello, look. Isaiah, Jesus, he's reminding us that's who Jesus is. You see, we can look at the New Testament and we can wonder what's going on, but that's because we're looking with 21st century eyes, aren't we? We're not looking as Jewish men and women of the first century. And the Bible is as relevant today as it was then, but it helps as well for us to know some of the context, to maybe think a little bit like a first century Jewish woman or a first century Jewish man, because they have been under oppression for years. They're surrounded by countries that would enslave them and then take them away. In fact, the very context in which they live has this echo of Babylon, where they were taken away into exile, running in the background of their lives. If you think about it for us, we still have World War I, World War II echoing in our background, don't we? Still part of our context of who we are as people. Well, they had Babylon being dragged away into exile, the time when they were oppressed. And into that, Matthew says, when Jesus heard that John the Baptizer had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the lake. Matthew's saying, hi, hello, Jesus didn't just take a little, you know, little 40-mile walk up to the Lake District. No, this is a fulfillment of a prophecy. And if you were a Jewish man, a Jewish woman, you would know exactly what Matthew was alluding to. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This isn't just a lovely reading to drag out at Christmas. This is the very core of who we are, of followers of Jesus. He was promised and then he came. And those Jewish people were in the middle of oppression again as they heard this. The Romans are there and they are taxing them beyond what they can be taxed. You know, every penny they earn was taxed heavily. Every hope they had about having a nation under God again is kicked down the road by the Romans. And here they are. You see, if a Roman walked up to them, not just a soldier, but if a Roman citizen walked up to them and said, "Carry my bag," they had to stop doing what they were doing and carry their bag. They don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Now, we can relate a bit to that at the moment, can't we? But not quite in the same extreme that they're in. And then Matthew says, Jesus is the light that Isaiah spoke about. He says, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. And then he goes on to explain all those words that I can't pronounce very well, but Julian did really well with. Jesus is the answer. That is what Matthew is saying. And so, you might expect, perhaps, Jesus to charge in on a white charger, brandishing a broadsword like some dodgy extra from the film Highlander. One of my favourite films, but anyway. But he doesn't start his kingdom like that, does he? No, he says, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's not that inspiring, is it? Stop being sinful and you might go to heaven someday, somewhen, somehow. We could have done with a bit more inspiration, really, Jesus. Could you not sort that out for us, you know? But if that is how we look at it, we're looking it back with our 21st century eyes again. For the Jewish people, this they needed to have God's kingdom, God's the heaven in the here and now. They weren't actually that worried about a future heaven. It was the here and now, God's kingdom to come in the here and now. That's what they needed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. It's the same prayer that we pray, isn't it? That's what the Jewish people wanted. God's kingdom now. That's what I pray for this place. God's kingdom now. Yes, it will come. But we want it now as well. And he promises that it will come in the now. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, though. That's a bit of an odd word, isn't it? An old-fashioned word. Certainly isn't that fashionable to repent these days, is it? And of course, we tend to think of the word repent being to say sorry. And there is, of course, truth in some of that. But there's much more to about it. In the biblical context, repent is to stop walking in your own way, to turn around and to walk towards Jesus. That is what repent is about, to turn away from the darkness towards the light. That's what we're talking about here. Now, I may have been alone in this, but in my 20s and in my 30s, in truth, and probably some of my 40s, I was not walking in the kingdom of God. I was walking in the kingdom of Max. And I was walking my own way. Even after giving my life to Jesus, I still began to walk in my own way in many ways. And actually, in truth, much of Max's kingdom wasn't turned into gold. Much of it was turned into rubbish. But maybe I'm the only one, but I think with a little bit of age and perhaps just a tiny smidgen of wisdom, we realise, don't we, that the kingdom of God coming now is perhaps a better idea than the kingdom of us coming now. The creator of the universe knows what is right for us. So the big idea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That's the big idea. that we turn away from darkness towards the light, that we turn away from our own way towards the way of Jesus, towards the teachings and the love of Jesus. And we're going to be looking at some of those teachings over the next few weeks, aren't we? But the good news is, I don't think we have to wait for the next few weeks. The good news is, I think, actually, through the Spirit of God, we know what is darkness in our world. And we know what is darkness in truth in our own lives, don't we? Maybe I'm still the only one who's got a bit of darkness in their life, so I don't know. I doubt it. So the question really is for us is, Sunday morning's great, but how does this impact tomorrow morning? How can we turn towards the light, not only today, but also tomorrow morning? Well, it's Mothering Sunday, and I've not mentioned it in the talk yet, have I? Because I wanted to save the best till last. It was Mothering Sunday, on Sunday the 9th of March 1997, that I repented and turned away from the kingdom of Max and towards the kingdom of heaven. That was the Sunday that I gave my life to Jesus, Mothering Sunday 1997. And I can remember that day very well. Mum and Dad, we'd arranged to meet them after church. I'd only been going to church for 6 weeks. And we'd arranged to meet them after church to take Mum out for her Sunday lunch on Mothering Sunday. By the way, don't do that. The service is always rubbish on Mothering Sunday. It's always more expensive. Take her out the following week. You'll get all the service you want because no one else is out there. But anyway, I digress, as I always do. And I would arrange to meet Mum and Dad outside in the car with Susie, my wife. But I got interrupted by this small issue of becoming a disciple, becoming an apprentice to Jesus. And so actually, I came out late. I came out a bit late. And you can imagine what I was like, full of the Holy Spirit, bouncing off the ceiling, you know. And I jumped into the car, and I was just about to tell Mum and Dad, you won't believe what's happened. When my dad said, "Where the heck have you been?" Dad was still the boss when I was in my late 20s. And he nearly burst my bubble. But my mum looked at me, and she knew something was different. Mums have a way about doing that, don't they? She knew there was a change in me. Something had happened. And she was to say to my father later on, "You know, I think Max is serious about this Jesus thing." How right she was. You know, my mum has always been able to look at me and know. She's always been able to look at me and know when I'm not telling the whole truth. She's always been able to look at me and know when I'm excited, when I'm thrilled about something, when I'm worried. She's always been able to look deep into my heart and know that. And the truth is, I tell you that story because there's only two other people in my life who have ever done that. Susie, my wife, who you know, and Jesus. See, Jesus can look into my heart and into your heart and know the areas that we try and hide from others, can't he? The problem is, I think all too often we look at that and we think, "Oh, he's a big judgmental God up there with grey hair. He can see the dark sides of my life. He knows about those." And yes, Jesus will be judge of all. We read that, and we'll come onto that another time. But I think we've gone too far in that direction. Because actually, I think Jesus is more like a mother in that respect. I can almost picture him kneeling down, you know. "Come on, turn from the darkness. Come, you can do it." You see, Jesus looks into our hearts and knows how we feel, the areas of darkness. But he's not like we sometimes think he is. He's actually saying, "Come on, turn from that. Turn towards the light. Turn towards me. Come, you can do it. I'm here for you. I love you. I'll walk with you." And sometimes I think we forget that side of Jesus. that side that brings up the mother in him. The side that says, actually, come to me, turn towards the light, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near.